You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt teaches about how God's blessings are always true and how he is always faithful to his children. Here's Pastor Matt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Portland Christian Center Online. It's really good to see you today, even though seeing you is just happening here through this camera. I hope that you're really having a great day with your family, and I want you to know that as one of your pastors representing the pastoral staff today, we have been praying for you. We have been thinking about you. We wish we were together with you. For now, this is the next best thing. So let's get started in an encouraging message today. I know that like many of you, I'm sure like all of you, we're trying not to get COVID-19, and like many of you, I'm trying not to get COVID-15, which would be those 15 pounds that many have projected we will all get by staying home and doing things like baking. For some reason, I felt the need to bake. So I've baked cookies 2 times in the last 2 weeks, and I need to stop. It's not going to be good for me long term. What an interesting season that we find ourselves in right now. I saw this shirt the other day, and I had to buy it. In fact, I had to wear it today just for this very reason. I think it's so indicative of what's going on right now, and I'm just going to show it to you here. It's the church has left the building. And you know what? The church has left the building, but you know what hasn't happened? God hasn't left you. He hasn't left your side. He hasn't stopped working in you. I really pray that God is doing some things in you in this season. And you know what else that's really important? He hasn't stopped working through you. You know, God does work in us, and he also does work through us. And it could be that God's doing some great ministry, some of his work to other people through you. Evidence of that is just what's going on all around us, the reports that we're hearing as a church of God doing great things and people doing things in the name of the Lord. You know, this last weekend we just had Easter. Thank you for those of you who had tuned into that. We had just shy of 1,400 unique views on Easter, which really doesn't count all of the families and the family members that would have been watching with those unique views. So thousands of people tuned in on Easter. We're very thankful that we got to interact in that way and really praying that God did some really special spiritual things in people's lives over this Easter weekend. Over the past few weeks, we've had 3 GrowTrack graduates online, and if you don't know what that is, that's how we start discipleship here at the church, how we learn about Christ Church and how to serve in the church and what it's all about to be a follower of Jesus. So we're doing that online. If you want to know more about that, you could ask in the comment section or in the chat section of whatever platform you're watching on. One of our pastors could help you with that. And I just want to encourage you to keep connecting in your community groups. Many of you are in a Portland community group, and we're hearing great reports of groups meeting online, having virtual meetings together, meeting each other's needs, making sure that each other has toilet paper and food and whatever else is needed. And speaking of the Portland community's experience, we've just come through our first 8 weeks of that. Really, this week concludes the 8 weeks of the Portland community's experience that we started back in February. And if you didn't know, you can actually grab the Portland community's experience guide. It's a workbook online now. It's on the main homepage of our website. You can just scroll down to pcctoday.com until you find a little box that says the experience guide. And if you'll click on that, it'll give you a great 8-week devotional, a daily devotional for 8 weeks that you can experience some of God's love in your life personally, but also it's a great way to discuss what's going on in your life and what God is doing with a group if you have any kind of a group connection that you're a part of. I'd really encourage you to do that. Speaking of that experience and us coming to an end, I want to share with you today an encouraging word from what is week 8 in that experience guide. So if you've been doing it or you have one and you're looking along, it's in that week 8 that we're going to share out of today. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 2. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles or tap in your apps over to Deuteronomy 2. And how many of you know that if the pastor asks you to go to Deuteronomy, things are going to get real in the service today? So go over to Deuteronomy, and as you're turning there, let's pray together over this sermon today. Lord, thank you for your word and how you illuminate truth to us today. I thank you for what I believe is going to be a great encouragement to your body, to your saints. And Lord, I just pray that that would be the case, that today we would walk away from opening your word and listening to your message. And we would walk away in a way that is so encouraged, that our spirits would be lifted and that we'd be challenged in all the right ways, the ways that you would have for us. Holy Spirit, would you speak in our hearts and would you do this work now? We pray these things in your name. Amen. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 7. And as we prepare to read, I want to just give you some context for what's going on here in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 2, Moses is recounting the wilderness journey of the Israelites over the 40 years between the time that they left Egypt and the time that they would inhabit the Promised Land. Mostly in this chapter, Moses is giving a blow-by-blow account of the battles with enemy nations who opposed the travel of the Israelites, much to their chagrin, many who paid dearly for their opposition to God's plan. And in the middle of this account, Moses makes this amazing statement that's in Deuteronomy 2:7 on how God has tenderly cared for Israel each step of the way. Actually, Moses is directly quoting the Lord himself, and in a statement we see God's own assessment of how he carried his people through all of these years, and he really wraps it up in three encouraging moments, and that's really where we're going to spend our time today. One is, I have given you success. God says, I've given you success. Remember that. I have got your back day and night, and I've given you everything that you've needed along the way. What have the Israelites come through that required so much care? Well, look at a few highlights from Moses' recap with me that lead up to chapter 2. We're going to actually start in chapter 1, so if you do have your Bible open, turn back to Deuteronomy 1. This is kind of like when you're watching your favorite show. Maybe some of you, you have it in your mind right now, your favorite show that ends one week and it's very suspenseful and you're waiting for the next one to come out. Now, for some of you, this is a foreign concept because we can binge watch all our shows now. But before we could, there were shows like 24 with Jack Bauer, and it would end each week with the beeping of the clock, and you just couldn't wait for next week. I mean, you'd look at whoever you were watching it with and be like, oh, why'd they end it right there? And then next week, you'd be ready. You'd be full of anticipation. And what do before they even start the episode? They say previously on 24 in Jack Bauer's awesome voice. And if this were happening for this segment of Scripture, you would hear Moses saying last time on the adventures of God's chosen people. In fact, the title Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. And fittingly, Moses spends most of chapters 1 through 4 on a historic prologue, repeating what the Israelites have gone through up to this point. And interestingly, the Hebrew name for this book is Elech Hadabarim, which translates to, these are the words. It's as if to say, what do you need to remember before you go into the Promised Land? These are the words, these ones right here. So we're going to rifle through a bunch of Deuteronomy 1. What is he recapping? So we'll put some of these references on the screen, but we're not going to look at each scripture just for time. Deuteronomy 1, 6 through 8, God says, you've stayed in the wilderness long enough. It's time to go and take the land that I promised you. And then in verse 9 through 18, they appoint leaders. There are leaders that need to be appointed that are fair and just and impartial. And so leadership gets appointed. In 19 through 21, they've reached what is referred to in the New Living Translation as the vast and dreadful land of the Amorites. So they were afraid, but it's time to go in, and it's time to do it without fear. In 22 through 25, spies are sent into the land to spy it out, and they come back and they say, this is a good land that God is giving us. The land is amazing. But in 26 through 33, the people are unwilling to go forward because of fear. Moses tries to rally them to not be afraid by reminding them of what God had just done in Egypt, but they still don't trust God. And in Deuteronomy 1, 34 through 36, God becomes angry with the people for lack of faith and then for rebellion. And he promises that not one of them will enter into the Promised Land except for the two spies that came back with a good report, with good faith, with a good attitude. And you know, as a side note, if you want to receive the fullness of God's promises in your life, then you'll need to respond in faith and not in fear. And this season of our lives is rife with opportunity to live in faith and to trust in God to bring us through it, or to shrink back in fear and to leave God out of the equation. And if history teaches us anything here, it's that God blesses faith, but not fear. And so in verse 37, God declares that Joshua will lead the people into the Promised Land. And in Deuteronomy 1, 41 through 46, the Israelites ignore God's warning and they try and fight on their own. And it says they lose badly. They go up against the Amorites, and it says that the Amorites chase them like a swarm of bees chases a man. In Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 6, the Israelites turn into the wilderness. They finally start listening to God. They spend decades there, and then God directs them to start heading towards the promised land. But first, there's a few nations they have to go through. And before they get there, there's this pause moment. It's in verse 7, and it's today's scripture. Deuteronomy 2, 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything that you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. So, through all that God's people had gone through up to this point, God says, I've given you success. I've had your back day and night. I've given you everything that you need. Through the times you were elated, through the times you were free from slavery, I was there with you. When you were challenged and you were scared, I was there with you. When you disobeyed, I was there for you. When you didn't know where to go and you didn't know what your direction was for the future, I was there for you. You know, he then reminds them, this is back in chapter 1, in verse 33, how even when they didn't trust the Lord, he was still there for them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Can you imagine any time that you needed direction from the Lord, you needed to know where to go next? I mean, now is a good time to be imagining this, right? We're waiting, we're wondering what's next. And just imagine if you needed an answer and then bam, up in the sky was a giant pillar of cloud telling you where to go. Or at night, a giant pillar of fire leading you in the direction that you needed. I would appreciate some large pillars of cloud and fire right about now. Well, what's the big idea? It's that God led them all the way through. How fitting a reminder for us today when we need the leading of the Lord through a wilderness time to remember that he's led us all the way through and that he will lead us all the way through. You know, we're in the middle of a wilderness experience, so to speak, a trying time. We're waiting on God. And we can look back on all that God has done, how he's helped us. Maybe for some of us through some good decisions. Maybe we look back and there's been some bad decisions, but one thing's for certain, God has helped us all the way through, and he will help us all the way through. And just for clarity, I want to echo what Pastor Ray said a few weeks ago. I don't believe that this virus is a judgment from God. I believe that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and we feel the effects of that sin all the time, a result of sin, separation from God, that ultimately leads to death. That's why we experience sickness and death, because of sin. And so we feel the effects of that, and this is one of those effects. But judgment for disobedience is not the only reason why one might end up in a wilderness scenario. Sometimes we end up tested in the wilderness, and God uses it as a time to prepare us, to fashion us, to shape us into a better future for his will. Remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery. His brother sold him into slavery, and it seemed unfair, and then he went to Potiphar's house, and then he was cast into prison, and then he was in the palace, and he went through all these ups and downs, and years and years and years, and in the end of it, his story, he says, what the enemy intended for harm, God intended for good. God let Joseph go through a wilderness time, not because of his disobedience, but because he needed to fashion him into something else. Remember the Israelites who we're talking about today, who in the wilderness experienced how to survive together. They learned how to fight, how to become a warring army nation that could go in and could take the land. Remember Jesus, who experienced 40 days being tempted by Satan in the desert, in the wilderness. But he emerged victorious through his living by scriptural truth. In a wilderness time, you can either trust in God, remember his blessings, and live by his word, or you can live in fear and disobedience and you can miss out on greater blessing on the other side. And while you're waiting in the wilderness, how will you respond? Will this be wasted time, or will it be, like for Joseph, the Jews, and for Jesus, a time where you grow in your faith, trust in God, where you're made ready by God for the next season of ministry, for the next season of what He wants to do in your life? And you know, while you're waiting, I think it's important to consider that there are a few kinds of waiting that I think are important for us to pay attention to. One would be a physical waiting, just kind of what we do with our physical selves. What are we going through right now? Well, this is the obvious one, right? We're all waiting around the house for the stay home and stay safe orders to be lifted so we can get back to work and we can get back to life. But before we do, could it be that there are some things in our lives that need resetting? Could it be that some things have become out of balance in life, and in this season of waiting, you now have time to examine them? Or maybe you should examine them. How's your health? How have you been treating your body? Not just in this time, but leading up to this time. By the way, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us. We have an obligation to treat it well. How have you been disciplined in maybe some of the key areas of your life? How have you been using your finances? You know, some of you have gotten really creative in this time and you've realized you could live on a lot less than you thought you could before. How are you spending time with your family? I'm just saying this, that while you're in a wilderness waiting, there may be some things that God wants to work on in you. And if you would ask Him about them, and you would think about them, you would ponder on them, I bet God reveals some things to you. I bet God reveals some things that He wants to do in you while you are physically waiting. So there's a physical waiting, but there's also a spiritual waiting. And any time that we're thrust into a holding pattern, I guarantee you there's an area in your life that God wants to work on you spiritually. Maybe it's a spiritual discipline. Maybe it's something specific to, let's say, your prayer life. Maybe it's just to start having a prayer life. Maybe time has been the excuse. I haven't had time. And now you have more time than you even know what to do with. And maybe God is nudging you. Hey, why don't you spend a little more time with Me? Maybe now that you have this time, it's also affecting your daily worship. Maybe your daily worship of God, how you give yourself to Him, is something that you're thinking about right now. I hope that it would be. Has anyone found it challenging to worship in song online, whether it's with this church or with anything? You look up music, you listen to it, like, hey, it's just not the same as being there in person on a Sunday. Well, granted, that's true. It's not the same as being here in the presence with everyone. But you know what really helps being a worshiper on a Sunday, or just being a worshiper in any one moment, is being a worshiper every other day of the week. And not just waiting for a Sunday for Pastor Chip and Christelle to lead you in song worship. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad if you're like, well, I don't really listen to a lot of worship music. But what I am saying, as I've found true to be in my own life, if you'll play worship music and you will spend some time worshiping God in song on a regular basis, it will alter the course of your day and really, I believe, the course of your life. Just the other day, we were sitting around in the house. It was Hunter and Sarah and myself. And we had come across some new worship song we were listening to, and we really enjoyed it. And then we just started going from song to song. You know how you do on YouTube? You watch one video, and then it leads to another. And we just spent about 20 minutes or so listening to worship music. We ended up singing together, just sitting there on our couches in the evening. And it really lifted our spirits in a unique way. It's interesting how God does that for something that is designed for us to give Him worship, that in that moment He gives so much to us as well. Whatever it is for you that God is working on you spiritually in, I know this for sure. It'd be a shame for us to emerge from this wilderness time unchanged in our pursuit of God and our trust in Him. So our waiting time contains physical and spiritual elements, and a big lesson we can learn from the Israelites in their wilderness recap is that if you can respond in faith and enter into a promised land earlier, then that may be the way that God has designed it. Remember, the Israelites, they were right there. They were on the precipice of the promised land at one point, but because they responded in fear and doubt, they ended up in a holding pattern a lot longer than they needed to. And sometimes that's the case for our lives. Now, I'm not promising that your faith response will lift the stay home and stay safe order, although I do think we should pray that way. I do think that we as the church, if we'll pray, God, will you give strength to our government leaders? Will you, even if they don't follow you as their Lord, will you still direct their heart just like Scripture says you do? If we'll pray that way, I believe that some things will be lifted sooner. But what I am saying is that through whatever happens in the remaining time of the coronavirus season, a fear response will hinder you while a faith response will help you. You know, you're stuck at home and you're getting a little stir crazy. Well, maybe you have some fear and some doubt that it will ever end. Well, what does that get you? A faith response, I know, will get you at least a sunnier disposition, a better attitude, and put you in the right frame of mind to hear what God is doing. Your 401k is in the toilet, and you're uncertain about your retirement. Well, if you have fear and doubt that you're going to have enough, you're going to have what you need in the future, it'll only depress you. But if you have faith in God, you'll be enabled to make statements like what's in Scripture: your God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You haven't worked in weeks, and maybe you don't know where the next set of groceries are coming from, or how you're going to pay the rent or the mortgage. Fear and doubt will cause you to live in extreme stress. But faith will allow you to say, in this season, God is watching over me. He's watching over me through this wilderness. And during these days, I know that God will care for me. I want you to hear today, the Lord is with you. Just like the totally needed reminder of Deuteronomy 2:7. Look at it again. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He's watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Look at these reminders of God's goodness from God himself. Number one, I will give you success. The first part of the promise in verse 7. God has blessed you in everything that you've done. You know, in your darkest days of discouragement, I want to remind you that God has blessed you tremendously. In fact, as an exercise of thanksgiving, right now, what I want you to do is I want you to think about, how has God blessed me? How has God helped me through something, whether in the coronavirus season or before? And I want you to put it in the chat section. So you might be watching this on pcctoday.com/live. You might be watching it on YouTube or on Facebook. And what I want you to do is just go to the chat section right now and start posting how God has blessed me. God has blessed me in this. Maybe it's my government rescue check already came. Praise God. Maybe it's my community group has blessed me in some way. They've helped me. Maybe it's a food or a financial blessing. Maybe a word of encouragement that someone gave you that lifted your day. Whatever it is, let's shout it out together right now and corporately lift each other's faith and see what God is doing. Sometimes it's good just to take a break and see what God is doing and thank him for it. Number two, I've got your back. So in Deuteronomy 2:7, he says, I'll give you success. And then he says, I've got your back. He has watched your every step through this wilderness. For some of you, this is easy to swallow because you believe it and you've experienced it in some way. And for others, you may be watching and you may be wondering, where's God in all of this? Well, listen to what Pastor Ray Noah writes on the topic in the devotional. Now, of course, as Christians, you and I know that to be theologically true of God. He cares for us. He carries us. We sing about it every time we gather for worship. We remind one another that the very truth to encourage us through the rough spots of life. Intellectually, we affirm in our minds that the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, after all, the God who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and his glory by Jesus Christ. Yet, if we are to be honest about it, there are seasons where we question God's care. There are spells where we don't feel too successful, and we wonder if God ever notices. We go through deep disappointment, or a painful failure, or a tremendous loss, and we can't see any evidence whatsoever that the Lord has our back. We pray for an answer, a provision, a healing, a breakthrough, and we get a big fat nothing burger instead of everything that we needed. Most of us would never say that out loud. A few brave, unfiltered souls would, but you and I are too holy to say anything like that. But we are thinking that very thing to ourselves. Maybe in our prayers we let it slip. God, where are you? While disappointment with God is not something we like to dwell on, and certainly don't broadcast, it is part of the journey for most, if not all, believers. Yet God still says the same thing to us as he did to the Israelites. I have given you success. I have protected you. I have provided everything that you have needed. I'm here to tell you today that God has got your back. He's watching over you. And if you will call out to him, I know that he will help you today. A third thing that God says in verse 7 is, I've given you what you need. God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Are you in need today? Ask God, and he will provide for you. As you look at your life, and you've received what you needed, praise God for it, and let it increase your faith through a remembrance of his goodness. You know, often God provides for our needs through his people, which is another great reason to be in community with other Christians. Maybe you've already experienced this, but if not, and you have need, I would encourage you to reach out to one of your communities, maybe a Portland community, one of your small groups in this church. I'd encourage you, too, to do this. If you're watching on our live page, there's a button that says prayer, live prayer. Click on that prayer button, and there's a pastor that will talk with you. You'll be put into a private chat room with that pastor, and you can say, hey, I have a need. Will you pray for me for this? And on top of that, you can bet that as we hear about needs as a church, we're going to do our best, as God enables us, to meet those needs. And so you say, you know what, I have a need, I haven't seen it met yet. Well, one, I would ask you, have you asked God about it yet? Have you prayed? And if not, click that prayer button. Let's pray together and see how God would meet that need. It could be that your need this morning is to start this trusting relationship with Jesus Christ that I'm talking about. And if you would click that same prayer button and you would say, you know what, I don't know how this pastor or this church is so up in this moment when everything else seems so down, but I'd like to know more about that Jesus Christ. We can help you. We will pray with you and help lead you to the Lord today. We want that for you. In fact, no one wants that for you more than God, to know you personally, to help you, to have a relationship with you. I'm going to ask our musicians to come at this point and share a few final thoughts with you. Remember the three main promises that are in this segment of Scripture. God will give you success. If you don't think that that's true today, let me just encourage you. God is going to give you success. God has got your back all the time. All 40 years of the wilderness experience, he had the Israelites' back. Not just with the pillar of cloud and with the pillar of fire, but with food, with meat, with water, with direction, with safety. All the things that you need right now, God's got your back. God will give you what you need. Did you know that God wants to bless you? God doesn't have it out for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. In fact, he thinks about you all the time. God thinks about you more than anything else and more than you could even imagine. In fact, he wants to bless you. Not long before Moses was recounting the Lord's blessing over Israel, as we are looking at today, he was instructing Aaron, the first high priest, his brother, in how God wanted all of the priests to pray a blessing over God's people. And you're likely familiar with this blessing because we actually say it over you and pray it over you almost every week here at the church. It's found in Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And we pray the middle part of it, but let me just back up to where the Lord starts it here. It's in 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. These are the instructions for spiritual leaders on how to pray a blessing over God's people. And he says, his name will be on those people, and he will bless them. Why? Because God loves blessing his people. God loves blessing you, and as one of your spiritual leaders, it'd be my honor to pray a blessing over you today. But more than my honor, it would be our honor as a pastoral team to pray this blessing over you. And so, in a moment, we're going to actually sing this blessing over you. And I want to encourage you in this moment to really worship with us. So wherever you're at, if you're on your device personally, maybe you've got your headphones in, you know, turn it up. You're in your living room with your family. Maybe it's just you and your spouse, or maybe your kids are around. You know, call them in. Maybe you're doing something else. Stop multitasking for just a moment. Turn up the volume and just let the truth of this scripture through this song soak into your heart. And while you worship God, allow God to minister to you as you receive his blessing from some of your spiritual leaders, God's blessing over your life.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.